We're living in good times, interesting times, and reality is there's a bit of an emerging crisis in the land. Did any of you tune into the prayer on Thursday night? It was amazing. I had the real opportunity of interviewing a man by the name of Eddie Boaz, a Holocaust survivor. There's not too many Holocaust survivors, especially in Australia, but this man was in Bergen-Belsen. He and his family went into the concentration camp when he was 3.5 months old. And according to the Red Cross, that was the only family that went in as a family and came out intact. So he's telling his story. He's not a Christian. He's not a practicing Jewish person, but he is a person sounding an alarm. And guys, I don't want to make you nervous this morning. I want you to walk out of here full of faith, knowing that you can do something to make our world a better place, a safer place. And, you know, my heart for this church, that it would be a place that's safe. And it would also be out of this place, out of this stables would come a people that really are making the world a better place and a safer place. And you've got to believe in a couple of things. You've got to believe in yourself, that God's called you into this realm. And you've also got to believe that God's got a plan for the nation and He can turn it around. And I want to say this, we're not going to do it without Him. You know, one of the things about that I believe, there was right back in the history of Australia, Jason, you would be aware of this. There was a man that came, he was the first, he was a Spanish explorer by the name of De Quiros. And, you know, they came out in search of a great south land. And they came to somewhere up around Vanuatu, Papua New Guinea, somewhere out in that region. And history tells that on Pentecost Sunday, May 1606, I believe, he planted an emblem, he planted a flag of the cross. And he spoke across the region about how this was called to be the great south land of the Holy Spirit. He spoke about that. God's got a plan for our nations. But a lot of people have had the wool pulled over their eyes, and it's almost like we feel that God has forgotten us. But I want you to know this morning, God has not forgotten us. In fact, God's calling us, and He's calling us to be the custodians of that prophetic word and to be a people who are going to stand up into the culture and say, we're not just going to float the way of the culture, but we are going to be the answer that God has called us to be. And I want to tell you that now is a very important time. Because when I interviewed Eddie Boaz, which I regard as one of the great privileges of my life to interview someone like that, I said, what do you want us to do for you? And he said to me, warn the church, tell the church. He was in Holland, his father was in the Dutch army, and things changed overnight. And they came for them. And he said, I feel in Australia it is so much like that time. You feel as though everything is okay, but it's not okay really. And Eddie warned us on the prayer meeting. He said, first they'll come for the Jews, and then they'll come for you, the Christians. If that is not a warning to the people of Australia, then we're just fast asleep. We're fast asleep. All over the nation, people are sitting on the fence hoping that the problem will go away. In the nation of Germany, they said all the Nazis are not bad. And the church remained silent until it was too late. Now, everything, I don't want to scare the daylights out of you. I want to give an answer this morning. And I reckon it's an amazing time because God did not choose to put Joseph, Daniel, or Elijah, or one of those heroes on the earth for now. He chose you. He chose Michael Rowell. He chose Sam Murphy, Pastor Robert and Julie Knight. I tell you what, I feel like I'm totally inspired that Lynn just wants me to calm down a bit. That's not my message. My message, I've had a lot of themes going around through my head, and I think things are going to begin to happen so quickly in our nation. Here's one of the thoughts I've had. I've had the thought of how important it is to live by faith. The message I spoke last time was about living by faith. So I talked about Hebrews 11, didn't I? And it talked about how without faith, you can't please God. Now, what is faith? Can you remember? What's Hebrews 11, 1 say? Read it out. It's a definition of faith. Huh? Read it out. All right, come up here. Get you blokes on your toes. Stand up. Turn 16 this week. Come over here. What's Hebrews 11, 1 say?
Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, evidence of the unseen. Now, faith in the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
All right, so what is faith? It is the substance. It's the substance of things hoped for. It's like something that gets on the inside. You can sit down there, you're off the hook for a little while. It's like substance. It's like I can feel it in my bones. So faith is the substance of things hoped for, and it is the evidence of things unseen. That's what faith is. It's substance, and that substance eventually becomes evidence. Now, the way I describe that is I grew up on a farm, right? And my dad used to have wheat in the barn. And that was the substance that he used to have a harvest. But the substance had to be sown into the ground so that the evidence, the harvest in the barn, became a reality. Now, this is what faith is. If you go down a little bit further in Hebrews 11, 6, and you'll remember this for me because I'll ask you next week. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Okay, how can you have faith if you don't even know what it is? So you've got to remember those two verses. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, and it is the evidence of things unseen. Now, according to the scripture, we are called to live by faith. We're called to live by faith. And a couple of weeks ago, I was reading this chapter. I just read it before I went to bed, and I don't know if for some reason it turned me on my head. Because I got to bed about midnight and then I just couldn't sleep because I started thinking about this chapter. Because if you go through Hebrews 11, all the way through, it talks about the heroes of faith. And I want to tell you that we are not called to be ordinary people. We are called to be heroes. Hear that? Called to be heroes. Anyhow, this thing happened. I started to think. I just started to dream as I was, you know, thinking about this. And it was sort of like a dream where I woke up and I started to think, I am going to get in contact with the father of faith in South Africa, and I'm going to start a radio show called We Can Be Heroes, and I'm going to interview that guy. And it just sounded like a far out sort of an idea, but I had this dream. And then what I did is I interviewed someone connected to that man, Angus Buchan, who is a hero of faith. And I said to him, now do me a favour, would you ask Angus if I can interview him? Now this man, the biggest crowd that he's talked to is around 1 million men. And there's a movie made about him. It's called Faith Like Potatoes. I recommend you guys, if you haven't seen it, go home and watch this. Because this man, as a 20, 30-year-old, came to Christ. And he was a bit of a wild man. He was pretty wild, you know, and didn't treat people very well, like really rough. And he found himself in a place like this and he received Christ. And God taught him about faith. And he started to believe for the men of South Africa. And about late to 2007, somewhere around there, he began to invite people onto his farm. And 250 men turned up. Then a year later, he did it again and 500 turned up. Now that's a big mob. It's a mob of blokes. If we get 30 blokes to church, we're slapping ourselves on the back. Then he had it again, 10,000 men turned up on his farm. Now this farm is in a place like Sale, it's in a place like Greytown, and Florin took me there last year and I had the privilege of meeting this man. The last event that he had on his farm, 450,000 men turned up on his farm. And his message to men is stand up, lead, be a real father, be on it. And you know, I reckon it wouldn't be so hard to get these kids out here if our dads were really on it. I think in this time we've got to be on it, because I'll tell you why. The enemy is no longer at the door. The enemy's come onto the inside of the door. And we've got to do something. We've got to be his men. And you guys here, I can tell you now, the future of the nation, you can't rely on what's happening out there. God put you here. God brought you here. You. No accident, you ended up in this church. You. So it's up to you. The future's up to you. This is where we need to pick up what's being said here and realise the urgency of the hour and step up to the challenge. Yeah. Are we all good?
Yeah.
We're still friends.
Yeah.
You still like me. What are we going to talk about here? We're called to live by faith. We're called to walk by faith. But it starts with stepping out in faith. And this is where, when we come to church, I reckon we can go through religious sort of ritual and we can do what's right. We can be in church, but we're not living by faith. So I actually was in the... In this room with Angus, and maybe the reason I'm pulling you out is he did that to me. I'm like a bit older, and you normally treat older people a bit different, but I was in a room full of men in Angus's room, and I got the farthest end away because I was a visitor. He said, hey, you, come here. Sit there. And he got right in my face, and he said, Brian, this is how it works. Think big.
Yeah.
Go big. He said this, Brian, go big or go home. He said it to me right in my face. Do you know what? Sometimes we're thinking so small.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sometimes we're thinking so small that we're just thinking of getting by.
Yeah.
But we're not called to just get by. Man, you've got one life. One life. Give it your best shot. Live it, but the trick is you've got to live it by faith. And this is where you've got to get that definition right, because if you don't know what the definition is, you don't know what you're living by. So faith is? It's the what? The substance of things that you hope for, and it's evidence of things unseen. You know, and it's a funny story just about the building here, but 38 years ago now, God gave me a vision of it. We're visiting Sale. I said, one day it's going to be a church in there.
Yep.
And you know, at the right time, God moved on someone's heart to come and help with that, and we're here. But you know, I didn't know what I was learning. I had to learn by faith. So that's the first theme that's going through my head. I don't believe the church is living by faith the way it should be. Not even ours, not even us, not even me. I believe there's so much more.
Yeah.
So not picking on anyone.
Yeah.
Not picking on anyone, kids. Number two, I've been thinking of this. Romans 8. So thinking about our church, I want this church to be a Romans 8 church. A Romans 8 church. When Paul wrote the epistles, it's all amazing. And according to the scripture, it's all inspired by God. The New Testament, it's an amazing book. The Old Testament's an amazing book too. And it all points to the New Testament. And I reckon when Paul wrote the New Testament, he wrote the book of Romans, he was having a great day.
Yeah.
And I believe there's such a challenge in this.
Yes.
We're not going to do this without God. We can't. There's no future really without Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, if he's on the outside, that's good. You know, and a lot of people acknowledge he's there, but when we invite him onto the inside, I tell you, everything changes. It did for Lynn and me. Lynn and myself just celebrated 45 years. And thank God for Lynn that I found Jesus on our honeymoon. And even after that, the first year, I was misbehaving a bit, but God got a hold of me. So number one theme is Hebrews 11, by faith. We're meant to be heroes. You know, that all the way through Hebrews 11, there's heroes. You know, there's a hero in you. There really is. There's a hero in these children here. Do you know what, Malachi? There's a hero in you. So the one's about ready to go for a black belt. There's a hero in there. Each one of you. But you know, the world just teaches you just to be out of it, be dull, be average.
Yeah.
You're not called to be average.
That's right.
You're not called to follow everyone else. You're called to be God's person.
Yeah.
You really are. I so believe that.
Yes.
Romans 8. Paul was having a good day. It's inspiring. I'm learning it. I memorized it at ministry school, and I'm coming right back to this. And this is the next task I've got for you guys. I know Hebrews 1, 11, 1's a big challenge, but we're going to memorize the whole of Romans 8, right? So between now and the end of the year, it's a Romans 8 challenge. Because we want this church to become a Romans 8 company of people. And let me tell you, it's got some great stuff in there, and I'll just jump in there and go through some of the things, and I'm going to give you some points about leadership. It says, there's therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now that's a whole service there, just talking about the difference between walking in the flesh and walking in the Spirit. It says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. What that means is when Jesus comes to live on the inside of you, that He is the life of God on the inside of you. And if you continually give yourself to the Spirit of God on the inside, you'll continue to rise. Do you hear that? You'll continue to rise. What will happen? You'll continue to rise. It's like the cream cups to the top. The Spirit-led believers will be the ones who lead the charge in the future. Now, nearly the vast majority of the church is camping around the things of the flesh. It's not a criticism. It is a reality. And even Paul, the apostle, had the same problem. He said, the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who gave His life for me. That's how we're meant to live. Church is average. Church is boring. Church is dull. Unless there are people of faith. But when we start to believe in our God and we understand who He is, we begin to become something. If Angus Buchan can send out a call to the men in the nation and have 450,000 people come to his party, couldn't we fill this place next week? Do you know, we've settled for cold fish and chips. That's what it's like. We've settled for leftovers. We've settled for compromise. Do you know what? Even the Muslim people now are saying they would listen to Christians if the Christians were more courageous. It's a bit like Goliath who went out. You know, and there's a whole lot of things about that story that impact me, but one of them was Goliath kept saying, send me a man. Send me a man. Just one. Like he mocked the whole army, the Israel army. Ha ha, send me a man. And then one little dude comes down there. And his brothers are going, what the heck are you doing here? There's a hero on the inside of you. But do you know what? There's some flesh around that hero that wants to shout me down, wants to shout you down, and wants to settle for comfortable. But God's calling you out this morning. God wants us to be the man, the woman, the champion, the hero. I tell you, when you get in front of a bloke like that, you can't argue. He gave me a Bible. He gave me a beautiful Bible, and he wrote in the front of it, he said, Brian, I want you to remember this, and add 1 John 4:4. 1 John 4:4. Most of you won't even know it, but this is what it says. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. Do you know what? If you really believe that, you are bulletproof. I'm not saying you won't get a bit of skin off your knees and a bit of graze here and there and, knocked around a little bit. But it's time for our nation. Hey, don't make me the enemy. I'm just the messenger. The enemy is on the inside. And on Anzac Day, you saw it. Where we had Anzac Day, which I believe is the most precious, sacred day outside of anything we do for the nation of Australia. And we had the radical pro-whatever contingent shouting, protesting, and the leadership of the nation is not there.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm talking about leadership.
Yeah.
We've got to lead during this hour.
Right.
And we've got to lead well.
Yeah.
So Romans 8 is a pathway. And in there, it talks about how we've got a choice. We can live by faith. We can live according to the... Say it. We can live according to the Spirit. Absolutely on my team. You may not be, but that little bloke is. Hey, this is what the Bible says. If we live according to the Spirit, we get to live, basically. If we live according to the flesh, we get to die earlier. So there's a choice there. And when you look at Hebrews 11:6, it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So you've got to bring these two things together. Hebrews 11, Romans chapter 8. Now, in Romans chapter 8, it says the whole of the earth is groaning and laboring. Yeah. Is that now? I believe this is true for every generation, but for now, the whole of the earth is groaning and laboring.
Yeah. Yeah.
There are more earthquakes than there's ever been. But I'm more concerned about this. More marriages are falling apart than have. More kids are on drugs. There's more violence on the streets. You know, there's more depression, anxiety. This is the whole of the earth groaning and waiting. Do you know that today the whole of the earth, you just read the newspaper, you want to groan.
Yeah.
The whole of the earth is waiting for something. Romans 8, is it verse 19? What's it say? Eagerly awaits for the revealing of the sons of God. Now, a lot of us have just hidden ourselves away in secular life. And I can understand it. But the whole of the earth is waiting for the revealing of the sons of God. Who is that?
Us.
Who?
Us.
It's easier to say us than me, isn't it? The whole of the earth is waiting for?
Me.
You. The whole of the earth is waiting for? The revealing of the sons of God. And I reckon in this time now, it's just the time.
Yeah.
It's not the time to back away. It's not the time to go on a sabbatical.
Yeah.
It's not time to give in to the dictates of the flesh.
Yeah.
Have you ever given in to the dictates of the flesh? The Bible talks about the dictates of the flesh. Have you? Just me? Like yesterday? I had 6 bits of pizza yesterday. And that's not all of it. I had chocolate cake. I had a can of Coke. Is that what the Bible's talking about when we give in to the dictates of the flesh? It sort of partly can be, but it's not really it. What are the dictates of the flesh? Let me tell you, somebody out there is dictating how you should live. what you should think, what's acceptable and what's not. And it impacts the flesh part of your life because we've got to live in this world. But on the inside of every genuine believer, there is the ingredients to rise up and beat that.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the spirit on the inside. This is where you can't be average kids. Average is listen, go away, get on the devices and the Nintendo. And what was faith again? How did God make the world?
By faith.
How did he do it?
By faith.
Tell me how though. What did he do? What did he actually do?
He spoke.
Good, they're getting better, sharper. So Romans 8, the whole of the earth is waiting for somebody to turn up on the scene and be the answer. That's his people.
Yeah.
That's why you've got to get connected, just not go to church. You've got to become part of a church that's going to become part of the Romans 8 company. So we're going to talk a lot about what that means in the future. So the third theme that I want to talk, and I've just got a few points there, is about spiritual leadership. There's a crisis on the earth because there is has been and still is a crisis of leadership. It's not the first time it's happened. It's happened in nearly every generation. And the Word of God seems to me to be an account of what happens when you have good leaders and what happens when you have bad leaders. Bad leaders allow trouble into the world. Write this verse down and have a look at it. 1 Kings 18:17. 1 Kings 18:17. It's when Elijah ran into Ahab. Now, Ahab, I want to talk about this at the men's camp next week. This is going to be a very important time at the men's camp because we're going to talk about personalities that shape culture and how it has come to this. And Ahab, according to the Bible, he was the worst king that did more harm, more evil than any other leader before him. It's amazing, isn't it? But the rot didn't start there. The rot ended there. The rot started when Solomon, the king, compromised, stepped away from God, opened up the king to attack. Now, somewhere in Australia, the leadership have done that in the past, but also in the leadership of the church. And when Elijah met the king, this is what the king said to him. This will help you feel a bit better. The king actually said to him, "Is that you, O troubler of Israel?" In other words, are you the bloke who's causing the trouble around here? Now I want to talk to you because whoever you are, whether you are a dad, a mum, a business person, a school person or a school captain, you may be called a person who's causing a bit of trouble, but that's actually not so bad.
Yeah.
As long as you're doing the right thing for him. In every crisis, God has his people prepared in the background.
Yeah.
Even a married woman in the Bible became the answer to the greatest problem in her time. Her name is... Can you remember? Deborah. Deborah ruled over the nation as a judge. She was a married woman. What's your excuse? Huh? None of us have got an excuse. Probably raising kids, I don't know. Let's not make excuses for ourselves. The enemy is inside the gate. Now, this message may really take you to about Wednesday to get over. but it's okay. Because greater is He that's in you than is in the world. And when you realize what God's put on the inside, you will become the troubler of your school, your street, your workplace, wherever you are.
Yeah.
I remember I created trouble for a bloke. When I was working in the bank, I used to get a bit enthusiastic sometimes, and this guy said, "Shut up, I don't want to hear that stuff anymore. Shut up." He was really off his chops, he really was. He went to the manager and he said, "I demand you stop that bloke." So the boss got me in, sat me at the desk and said, "You can't talk like that anymore. That doesn't work with me. I'm not in the bank anymore." But we've got something on the inside that must break out. Like, you look at what the other side are doing now, they're very radical. They're pushing in, man. They're winning the arguments. And we're being holy. Here's a couple of things about leadership. Man, we need leadership. Every level. Hats off to leaders. You know, Deborah fought and led, commanded an army. Imagine that woman. You know, she was like a bit of a Joan of the Arc in the old days, you know. But this is what's written in her in the next chapter of the Bible. When leaders lead, bless the Lord. When leaders lead, bless the Lord. When they don't, good luck to you. We need leaders during this hour to step up, step out, step forward. Here's a couple of thoughts about leadership. Lead wherever you are, first by serving. Lead wherever you are, first by serving. Joseph served in Egypt when he was in the palace and when he was in the prison. Daniel served in Babylon. These guys are exceptional leaders. Where can you serve? I believe in the house of God's a good place to start, but the business community, the school board, the SES, good on you, Johnny. Find a place to serve. Don't waste a minute, guys. Do you know what I believe? Service, serving someone else without the expectation of the return, is the greatest qualification for leadership. You know, we are in a generation now that doesn't want to serve. Nobody's turning up to the Rotary clubs anymore, or, you know, they won't turn up unless they're paid. We've lost something. But do you know who history's greatest servant was? Jesus. Find a place outside your own little family, home, little culture, outside the church to serve. You'll find conversations will begin to happen. Number two, lead beyond your comfort zone. Man, whew. Comfort zone. I knew I was going to draw something on this board. But this is like our comfort zone where we live. I know it's a real work of art, but that is our comfort zone. That is our little patch. That is our square where you feel safe and comfortable. This is a safe place. Really, it's pretty comfortable, isn't it? Hey, don't you think? I mean, the morning tea's going to be fabulous after. This will be over. The pain will be finished. Archie will be happy. But this is your comfort zone. Now, can you describe to me what your comfort zone looks like? Is it your family, your home, the job you have, the existence you have, your bedroom, What's your comfort zone look like? Well, my comfort zone was in church, but no way am I going to lead. I sort of wanted to and I didn't want to. And then my pastor called me out, just a bit like this. But see, the miracles happen outside the comfort zone. Because when you step out of your comfort zone, you are stepping out into the realm of faith, and now God has to move on your behalf. And that's what I've found. And that's what you need to find. You've got to get out of your comfort zone. If you remember nothing else about this morning, your comfort zone has become your prison bars. Your comfort zone is your self-created prison. Get out of your comfort zone. Step out of the boat. Take a step of faith. Do something that is totally out of character for you. Do it. What you've got to do is you've got to acknowledge what your comfort zone is, where you feel safe. Because a lot of you have made big excuses for yourselves.
Yeah,
true. I love you. But you created a prison for yourself. And you go, where are the miracles? It's interesting, you know, because Deborah led the army, and in the next very chapter, Gideon was in a wine press and he's going, God, where are the miracles? Where are the miracles? Do you know what he was in? Excuse me, he was in the bloody wine press. The miracles are not going to happen there.
Yeah.
Number three, lead from a position of stature. Lead from a position of stature. This is how you grow in stature. You keep saying yes to Jesus.
Yeah.
I think I've done this well. Every time I felt really scared, I've said yes anyway.
Yeah.
Do you know what? Fear will bind you up. You got big men and grown bodies. Tats all over them, and they're scared on the inside. There's a little boy on the inside. It's true. God's not called us to be like that. There's a lion on the inside waiting to get out. Man, I feel scared like everyone else sometimes, but I ain't going to let that thing hold me down. You know, if the whole church stood up and did what it should do, we'd push the enemy out in 5 minutes. Religion hasn't served us well. I'm coming down. Lead into new areas of breakthrough and harvest. When I step through that door, you know, there's a doorway out of your room. There's a doorway out of your room. You can stay in it or you can open that door. You can kick that door down and you can come on out of there. And when you do, you'll find a whole lot of open doors. I want to talk about one more leader. And this one, we go to John chapter 3, verse 3. John chapter 3, verse 3. We're coming down. It's a beautiful passage of scripture, but it's about a great leader. And it says, there's a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This bloke sounds like a leader, hey? A good leader. Apparently he was a respected leader. Greatly respected. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. And Jesus answered and he said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. cannot see the kingdom of God. We must be born again. You know, if you can't see the kingdom clearly, you know, maybe this is grating on you so deeply, it's because we can't see the kingdom. And we really need to be born again, deep on the inside. One of the men responsible for us coming to Christ on our honeymoon was Billy Graham. And we got saved at the Billy Graham Crusade. And the message was, you must be born again. Yeah. And on our honeymoon, I took Lynn's, I didn't ask her, I didn't consult her, but the preacher said, you must be born again. And if you want to be born again, come and stand here. And I forgot to consult, as I've done many times. I took Lynn's hand and we walked to the front and we gave our life to Christ. We're born again. And true as I stand here, from that day, I walked out of that place and I could feel the physical touch of the Holy Spirit on the top of my head. Every day I could feel that touch. 18 months later, my brother was tragically killed in a car accident. And I thought, that's it. And we fell to our knees and we really prayed and said, from this day forward. And we were in church after that. And then that hand went away. But from all the way, it's been like a God-ordained, God-led journey. Yeah. And we ain't stopping. But the message is, you must be born again. Yeah. If Jesus said that to a leader of the Jews, you must be born again. Maybe the big struggle is on the inside. Not that you're struggling with me or the church or what you're hearing, but it's that you have not really been deeply converted on the inside to Christ. And this morning, I want to give you that opportunity all over the place to really receive Christ onto the inside, to be born again. Because, you know, when you are born again, you kids, church will drive you nuts.
Yeah.
If you're not born again, you'll be out of here as soon as you can. 18, gone. The answer is, you've got to be born again. What that means is, Christ comes onto the inside, comes to live in here, and he starts to, from the inside out, take over your thinking. Now, if he hasn't taken over your thinking yet and you're still living in your little jail, it's because you haven't really let him in to every area of your life. God wants to set you free. And I want to see you free. I want to see you free to become the hero that you were called to be. The enemy wants you to be a zero. God wants you to be a hero. But if you don't go from here unless you're born again, don't go from here unless you're going to change something. Amen. We good? Is there a leader in you? Is there a hero in you? You know, little David was serving the cheese and crackers. The brother said, you stay over there, just prepare the food, you little whippersnapper. Little David rocks down and he goes, what the heck is going on here? What is going on here? Who is this uncircumcised piece of work that is defying the armies of the Lord? Who is that uncircumcised, big, ugly brute? The David in us has got to come up. It's time. Don't give me any more excuses. Don't tell me God made me this way. That's bollocks. When you're born again, you change. When you're born again, your thinking changes. When you're born again, Your believing changes. Your speech changes. Your heart changes. Your friends change very quickly. Who wants to be born again? Who really wants to be born again? Awesome. You really want to be born again? If you really want to be born again, just come and step out. Ask a friend, do you want to do this? Do you want to finally man up? Not picking on anyone. It's a challenge.
Yeah.
I said this a couple of weeks ago and I almost apologised for it. I said, how can a church that's sitting on the fence help a nation that's falling over the cliff?
Yeah.
Can't. Want to be born again? Do you want to be born again? All you guys. Anyone else amongst us really want to be born again? You want to get over yourself? Want to break through? Want to be set free? Anyone want to lead? Want to be God's leader in this generation? Is there anyone there? Good on you guys. Let's stand up all over the room. Pray together. God will make you. Good on you. God's in the making. Come, Jesus said, come, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Great promise. Let's pray together. You want to pray after me? Pray this prayer. What I'm going to do is I'm going to pray the prayer that Lynn and myself prayed at the altar 45 years ago. If you pray it from your heart, it'll change your life. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you this morning. I thank you that you were there. I really want to know you. Not just about you. I believe that you sent Jesus into the earth to pay the price for my sin, for my failure, for my shame. I receive forgiveness this morning. I believe that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, and he is Lord, and he is seated in the heavenly places at the right hand of the Father. I repent of my sin, and from this day I decide in my heart to follow you wholeheartedly. In Jesus' name, amen.